We had discussed sharing on the book of Ruth today, because Ruth is one of the significant moms in God's Word. And it's a wonderful book because, you know, it deals with this, the concept of redemption. And we've all been there, understanding that worth of redemption in our lives. And the other part of it is, you know, you just see, you know, a wonderful love story, but you see the heart of God toward people, all people, with the book of Ruth. Why don't you go to book of Ruth, and verse 1. Or chapter 1, not verse 1, but chapter 1. What we see in Ruth is a heart, the heart of redemption in light of people coming to love and trust God. And that's what we see when we look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. I know that you all know the story of Ruth and, you know, how her, you know, her mother-in-law lost her husband. She had two sons. Were there two sons or three sons? Two sons. And both sons died, you know, because of, they left the land of Israel because of the famine. And then they went to this new country and, you know, their lives were just falling apart. But even after it fell apart and Naomi, who is the mom, was ready to return back to Israel, she wanted her daughter-in-laws to go back to their own people. But Ruth said in verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." That is, you know, just such a wonderful heart of a daughter-in-law, you know, to the mother-in-law, and I am thankful to say that I experienced that in my own life between my daughters-in-law and me, and it's such a joy, as you all know, to have daughter-in-law that love you, and that's what she did. Not only do they love her, they love God, and that's the heart of, you know, life in a wonderful family. And so we see redemption from famine to plenteous in light of the harvest. Here we see widowed to married, you know, Naomi, Ruth gets married, you know, in the end, from being an accursed pagan, you know, because she was a Moabite, just, and they were accursed people, to becoming a believer and valued, and from being childless to being a mom of the Christ line. And one of the significant things that I looked at in light of Ruth was the idea that she was a stranger. She was someone that was a curse that did not have God as her God. She wasn't raised that way, obviously. But she embraced God, and that changed her life. And I think in the believer line, when you look at the believer line, there are two strangers in the believer line, and both of them are women, Ruth being one and Rahab being the other. There are other women, obviously Doug mentioned Mary, she's in the Christ line, right? And Tamar, she's mentioned in the Christ line. But of the strangers, there's two women that end up in the Christ line. If you go to Ruth chapter 2, and then in verse 10, this is where Ruth meets Boaz, who becomes her husband later. But he's talking to her. She's been gleaning in the field, And so in verse 9, it says, he's talking to Ruth, and he says, let your eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And verse 10, and then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Because Israel, the people of Israel, were not allowed to hang with strangers. You know, if you're walking on one side of the street and there was somebody coming, you know, a stranger coming toward you, you go to the other side of the street. You know, they just didn't have contact. But here's this woman, a stranger to Israel, and he says, please, glean in my field. You know, we'll keep people away. You are obviously awesome. You know, you're taking care of Naomi. So just do this. And it just shows you the heart of Boaz to respect not only Naomi, but God's word. And let's go to Leviticus. Strangers are interesting people in God's word. In Leviticus chapter 19, even though Israel was told to stay away, you know, let's not get mixed up with those unbelievers, you know, those cursed people, God's heart toward them is big. When we see in Leviticus 19, verse 10, I'll start in verse 9, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. He made provision for people that weren't of Israel in the law because they are important, because they are people. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved the world. He loved everybody in it. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12. Even though they were not people to be, you know, don't hang with them, so to speak, they were, if they chose to be with Israel, they were embraced. Didn't matter what your race, color, creed, if you chose to be with our God, then he embraced you 100%. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn or come to dwell with you, with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. So they weren't treated differently. They weren't said, okay, you know, you need to have a different way of life than we do. We are you. If you become one of us, we become, you know, you become one of us. Look at Exodus 22. In verse 21. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Strangers, again, this is a common thread in God's word. These people that were not part of Israel, but that came to be among Israel. But it was so, you can see God's heart to understand you know, walk in my shoes, you know, walk in somebody else's shoes, and you understand where that person is coming from. In Leviticus chapter 19, let's go back to Leviticus 19. Let's go to verse 34. We'll see this again here in verse 33. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So it wasn't just an acceptance. It was, yes, you love. You love them. Why? You do all you can to love them. You can't. In the Old Testament, they couldn't do better than loving them as thyself, because there wasn't anything greater at the time. So as much as God, and you know, could, he said, you love them. You love them as yourself. This is the way God embraces people. He embraces all people. He wants that love and that acceptance for anyone that loves him, anyone that he, that has embraced him, he will do to embrace them. And, you know, it's interesting, as I looked at this idea of the stranger, Abraham was a stranger, called the stranger. Jacob was called a stranger. He was in a strange land. Isaac, again, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all strangers to the world that they lived in, because they were not as the world. They were different because of God, for no other reason. That is the difference that we have in this life, is that our God embraces and loves. And because of that, we can do the same. And he encouraged them in the Old Testament to do the same. You might be a stranger, but, you know, God will accept you. He will take care of you. And then all of the children of Israel, obviously, out of the land of Egypt where they were in bondage, they were all strangers. So, you know, walk a mile in my shoes, or I'll walk a mile in your shoes, and we can understand where people are coming from, you know, that everyone needs God. Everyone needs that redemption that that he offers. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Everybody has, you know, that we've seen so far was a stranger. But if you look at Matthew 25 in verse 31, we see the man who was the truest stranger, that really had very little in common with everybody else. In verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them, unto his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Jesus Christ, the stranger to the world, gave his life for all mankind, so that God would be able to have all the people that are willing to come to him, willing to accept now Jesus Christ. They were looking forward to him in the Old Testament. They would embrace him, And now he comes, and he will, because he is the stranger in this life, that they took his life, he will give life to those that have come to him. Let's look at Ephesians. Now you're all familiar with this. This is who we are, or who we were. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Now that's a sorry place to be. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Here it is, the worst place to be, having no hope and without God in the world. And that's how people are. They are strangers. People are strangers. And they need to come into what God has given mankind to receive. Salvation, redemption, love. All those things that he's over time given to people through his word, through the relations that he had with people, to extend their hands in love to those that are not like them, but chose to be with them. And we are the same. We were, thank God we're not anymore. We were without Christ. And because of that, we were aliens. And we were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. To close, let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 11. No, Hebrews chapter 11. One of the great things that Boaz says to Ruth in the book of Ruth is that you have come to trust you have come to be under the wings of God to trust. And that's how I feel sometimes, that we are all under the wings of God, you know, to trust in him and how he takes care of his people, whether they're strangers, whether they're part of the fold, you know, whether you're an alien. God, if you have the heart to believe, God will be there for you. He will take care of you. In where am I? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. This is referring to all those believers that we talked about. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. You know, Moses was called a stranger. He named his first son Gershon, which means I'm a stranger in a strange land. Everybody knew what it meant to be a stranger. You are outside the fold. You know, you don't have anything in common with wherever you are. But here in verse 13, it says, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And thank God we have citizenship, as it says in Ephesians. We have citizenship. We are no longer those strangers and pilgrims to God's household. We are valued. We are loved. We are important. to God and to his wonderful word. And, you know, there are many people. It's my son. There are many people that still need our help, still need our love, still need our outstretched hands, you know, and to help them come under the shelter of the wings of God to learn to trust in them. So that's what I had to share. I'll just close now. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to know you and your wonderful word. And yeah, we've been strangers, but we are part of your world now. We're part of that heavenly body. And we are still waiting for the fulfillment of that wonderful hope that you've given us. And we pray that we can continue to walk forth boldly and speak of your wonderful grace and goodness. And it's through our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.